From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music. I'm Beth Ruriak. Sacramento indie artist Damian Verrett is trying something new in 2019. He spent the summer touring with the reunited band American Football. It was a tour through Asia. His latest project is an experiment in songwriting and filmmaking minimalism. It's called 5 Minutes. Damian wrote a 5-song suite for the EP, all 1 minute each, set to simple, heartfelt visuals. Insight producer Cody Drabble talked recently with Damian about all of this and more.
So my really good friend Jason Cupp is their front of house engineer and their producer. And their normal second guitarist, Steve Holmes, wasn't able to do the tour. They'd met me a couple times before at shows in San Francisco that I'd been to. So they knew I wasn't like a jerk. They knew I was going to be like a good hang, which is honestly
That's more important.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend weeks or months on the road with somebody,
exactly,
you got to know they can behave themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So they knew I could like pass that test. They sent me this set list of 14 songs that I had to learn, all of the different tunings and everything. And for 3 months, I learned all of these songs. And
they're known as a math rock band, which means hard time signatures, lots of syncopation. Keeping up rhythm-wise is tough.
Definitely. The thing that tripped me up the most is that every single song is in a different tuning. The analogy that I would use for that is like, imagine your computer keyboard. You're pretty familiar with like ASDF, GH, JKL, semicolon. Like all the keys are in the same spot every day when you pick up your keyboard. But then you like rearrange them and now you have to write one email and then you rearrange them again. And you have to write another email. So it's kind of like that.
So you're learning 14 different keyboards.
Exactly.
On your guitar.
Yeah. There's not a lot of room for error. On a normal guitar tuning, you like know where G is, you know where F is, you know where G flat is, just by looking at it. But if you get off the road with an open tuning, it's a serious problem.
How long did it take you to learn their music?
I was working on it for about 3 months. In that time, we only rehearsed together twice. I flew out to Chicago and we played the set once all the way through. And then the next day we came and played it all the way through again. And then the next time I played with them was at Fuji Rock in Japan.
Oh my gosh. And these are big crowds.
Yeah. The crowd at Fuji Rock was the most people I've ever played for by like 10 times. It was 10,000 people. I had not picked a guitar up for 3 days. And we hadn't played together in 3 weeks. And no one in the band had played together in 3 weeks. And we didn't have any time to rehearse. We're off of like a international flight.
So you're jet lagged too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really freaked out.
How'd it go?
It went well.
Rolled your eyes a little bit.
I definitely like the thing that's hard about this band is like the people who know the songs, like really know the songs.
Right.
They're very guitar driven.
The EP and the album came out in the late 90s and they were like cult classic records.
Exactly. So like the errors that were made were like not coming in on a part in the right spot.
Got it.
You know, that kind of thing.
Timing
where it's
errors.
Like anyone who didn't know the song would have no idea. But the diehards, I'm sure, noticed. And it's not like the end of the world. I was like very gentle with myself because I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever been asked to do.
It's like someone throwing you into the Olympics with 2 or 3 practice
Yeah,
runs.
Exactly. That's a good announcement. Well, not quite that. I think it went quite well, considering. And it was a ton of fun. It's the sort of thing where like I had always imagined, like, what would that feel like to stand in front of that many people? You play a couple songs and it's like, oh, it actually isn't that different. Because you can't keep in the back of your mind the concept hovering of like 10,000 people are watching me. It's not that different from like 1,000 people. And even 100 people presents its own challenges because you have to be that much more like intimately engaged with the crowd. 10,000 is so anonymous that
you don't
just
have
like
to worry about eye contact.
Yeah. It's just like a wall of people. It's not as terrifying as it sounds, especially if you're just one guitar part in the band.
So you went to Japan and where else?
It was Fuji Rock in Japan, Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Manila, Singapore, Thailand, Jakarta.
Had you been to any of those places
before?
I'd
never been to any of them, no.
Did you get to explore?
Almost not at all.
Hotels and buses the whole time.
Yeah, apart from Fuji Rock. So after Fuji Rock, we had 2 days to hang out in Japan, and then every other show was consecutive days. International flights every day between... There were six of us, and we had 18 bags. So every day we're going through international baggage claim in a different country with 18 oversized bags. When you're on tour, there's like lobby call. That's when you have to be in the lobby no later than the number on like the itinerary. And like most mornings, it was like 6 a.m., 5:30. And then we get on a plane and we arrive at the venue, sound check. It's like, okay, now we have 2 hours to hang out around the venue in a country that we've never been to, where we don't speak the language, where you might get hit by a scooter on the sidewalk, you know. And we did try to explore a little, but it's some of these places are quite different from American cities in good and dangerous ways.
Did you get to talk to the guys in American football about their relationship with their fans? Because their band has sort of an interesting story. They were together as college students.
Mm-hmm.
They put out two records in a really quick succession of time. They became underground hits, like college radio favorites. And then they kind of broke up until 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a band where they've been touring continuously for over a decade. They were on hiatus for most of that time.
Every night, it was a lot of fun because I got to watch the original members just be like astounded by the fact that these crowds were coming out for them in countries they'd never been. They were surprised every time. And every time most shows were sold out, you know, in Jakarta, there were 800 people there and they knew every word to every song. They would sing the guitar riffs that were really recognizable, like so loudly that I had to like go back and stand directly in front of my amp so I could hear my own guitar over them singing the part I was playing. Yeah.
And they're hard guitar parts.
Yeah, yeah. They're not singable guitar parts. It was really funny to hear. I think it must have been mind-blowing to them to find, like, not only, like, people were showing up, but I would argue they were more engaged than a lot of American audiences. And this is in Indonesia, you know. It's a miracle.
So that was how you spent most of summer 2019.
Yeah, was preparing for that and then on that tour.
In the spring of 2019, you released a single called Heal. What was on your mind when you were writing that track?
In addition to doing the like working musician thing, I work with this awesome nonprofit called The Creation District. The amazing director of that, Grace Losher, has been on Insight a number of times. It's basically arts supplies and studio time for youth experiencing homelessness and housing instability. I am their like engineer for the music studio side of that. And
you helped produce at least one of their records.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So we've done a couple mixtapes now that I got to like work with all the artists on. For me, that being such a part of like the last year of my life, it really demonstrated to me and presented to me like my privilege in regards to like access to music equipment and like, you know, lessons and just being able to sit in my bedroom for hours and hours and work on guitar riffs and things like that. I began to see in this new light where it's like, wow, these people who are coming in to work with Creation District, they have this 1 hour block with me once a week, you know, and that's the only time they get to work on their art in this like professional setting.
And your record is like bedroom pop. You are holed up in your house and you're working on your stuff for hours and hours, weeks and weeks at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. I never really sat down and thought about like, wow, there are many, many other quite talented artists who just simply do not have the time. They don't have the resource. They don't have the room to sit in even and like work on their art. How do I heal the ache that I can't name? Stuck in a loop, I lost myself. Deep down, I already know how. I wrote Heal after meeting all these amazing artists and learning a lot from them and realizing how much I had to learn from them, fell into this loop of like, oh, wow, like helping people is like such a practice in mindfulness. You can't help but reflect on your own privileges and like thought patterns and like, you know, negativity when you're like actively assisting people in like a way that is so warmly received. So I wrote a song about that. And then the hope is that the song is also doing the thing. Like the song is healing and it's about healing and it's just this kind of like a fractaling, looping situation.
The Heal has some of your signature pop hook stylings. And as I was listening to it over the last couple of days, I was thinking, if you could ghostwrite a hook or a song with any pop artist today, who would you want to work with?
I mean, the first person that comes to mind is Ariana Grande, just because as far as like vocal athletics go, she can't be topped. So acrobatic with her runs and things. Like she can sing literally anything. The other person I think of, I guess like Lizzo. Lizzo has such range that just seems like it'd be so much fun. And then like a non-pop artist that like is like my, it sounds ridiculous to say bucket list because it will probably never happen. But like if I could ever work with Vince Staples, the rapper, in any capacity, I could just die happy.
Has your production process changed at all since your 2017 record, Oh Yuck?
Definitely. I'd say I've learned about as much in the last 2 years as I'd learned like the maybe 10 years prior. Back to the, like the time and privilege thing. I have like the very fortunate situation now where my studio is just in my basement. So I've just spent a lot of time down there working on things. If you spend conscious time on like one endeavor for like numerous years, you're like just going to get better at like a much faster rate.
Do you ever get bored with the way you do things and want to try and change it up?
I think that happened a lot leading up to the release we're going to talk about, and that was like a big reason for my decision to make 5 minutes. I definitely get stuck in a way of doing things. Ways you can break out of that are like collaborating with other people. And thankfully in Sacramento, we have like such a wealth of new blossoming like talent. That's another place where I've been trying to sink more time lately is working with local artists.
I'm talking with Damien Verrett, the artist behind So Much Light. And as you mentioned, he has a new project called 5 Minutes. It's a visual EP, 5 songs of about 1 minute each.
Exactly 1 minute each.
So let's talk about 5 minutes. What was the spark behind the whole idea?
There's this thing happening with streaming. I don't know how much people who just listen to music are noticing it, but songs have gotten much, much shorter over the last few years. The algorithm really favors brevity. If you want your song to like land on a playlist, it has to be pretty short. If something's 3 minutes and 30 seconds,
it's
that feels long to me now.
Yeah,
which is shocking.
Songs used to have a couple of verses and then a chorus and then another verse, and now the artists are going straight to the hook.
Yep.
No instrumental intros. Songs are 2 minutes or less. And that is in order to game the Spotify streaming system. If your song gets played all the way through, it gets ranked higher than a song that gets played partially.
Exactly. So the math behind it is the big inspiration. And, you know, you might hear that and think like, well, that's really sad. Like,
well, you're not being cynical here, right? You're not trying to game the monetary side of the equation.
Exactly. I think with a lot of the ways that like the music industry and like the arts industry are changing right now with social media, you can look at it one of two ways. You can say like, well, that really stinks and like I wish things were how they used to be. Or you can think of it as a challenge, and like even these are like new mediums that are emerging. Like you can look at Instagram as its own art form, and you can look at Twitter and all of these things as like their own works of art. And I prefer to do that because the first option is crazy making, and you'll just stop making art if you feel like it used to be better.
You're no less of an artist for painting a 12 by 12 portrait or a 20 foot by 20 foot mural.
Exactly.
It's still a challenge, whatever you're trying to do.
Totally. And the limitations breed creativity.
the limitation you placed on yourself was you wanted to do a story in 5 minutes or you wanted to do 1 minute songs. How did you frame it when you were coming up with it?
Well, first, I just thought about 1 minute songs. You know, you have to really trim the thing down to fit it inside of 1 minute. Okay, there's no intro, nothing repeats. Like, what even is the chorus then? Does it exist? Like, is the entire song the chorus? The hope is that people don't get bored, you know? And it's fun to, like, cater to this really short attention span. I don't think it's necessarily bad if you can communicate, like, very articulately within 1 minute. Maybe that's all you need.
And it's not new either. The Ramones have plenty of songs that are, like, 90 seconds.
Exactly. Totally. Old folk songs aren't very long. They, you know, like, one refrain that just repeats, row, row, row your boat. How long is that? 15 seconds?
And you also decided to make it a video. And was that because you had a visual idea tied to each song, or is it because you wanted to make it more shareable?
I wanted to make it more, like, engaging. Again, with the attention span thing, it's fascinating how difficult it is to get people to, like, click one time on something.
Did you draw inspiration from other recent visual album projects like Beyoncé or Frank Ocean or Thom Yorke?
Yeah, I mean, those, and then specifically Tierra Whack, who has this awesome record called Whack World that's 15 minutes long. It's like a full-length album in 15 minutes. Every song has, like, a visual. It's super overwhelming that it's become mandatory to have this visual element, especially as, like, an independent artist. It's just hugely expensive.
And it means you have to find someone to collaborate with.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about your video collaborator.
Our awesome director and producer for the video album was John Tierney. He's a Sac native, an incredible videographer. He had such good ideas. And I don't know, we really relate artistically.
So this is an insight first. We have never had a segment where we can truthfully say we are playing the entire record
amazing.
On air. So are you ready?
Yeah,
let's get into it.
That's great. I love it.
All right. So let's start with the first song. This is No Good. We'll listen to it and then we'll talk about it.
Should I just quit?
Sound was there for me. Now he's my best friend. Maybe I'm no good. Am I a fucking fake? Fear is moving in. Now he's my roommate. I know this feeling is not forever. I control my state of mind. I'm making money. A shot of surprise.
So the visuals for this video, you are in a recycling can. Somebody is rolling you down the street and there's, like, cardboard boxes sticking up out of it. And the song is about overcoming doubt. Maybe I'm no good. I control my state of mind. I make it mine. What was going through your head when you were writing the song?
Just in the last couple of years, I was working with a label and now I'm not. And it wasn't, like, under the best circumstances and inevitably created a lot of self-doubt about, like, the worth of my art. It was a reckoning with that.
You weren't seeing eye to eye with the label.
Yeah. And then I kind of began to question whether it even makes that much sense to be working with a record label in 2019 when, yeah.
You can put your own stuff on Spotify.
Exactly. Going through a third party became very frustrating. And when you didn't see eye to eye, it's not a matter of, like, okay, like, agree to disagree. It's like, well, we're not going to bankroll this. You know, we're not going to fund this. And you aren't allowed to release anything that isn't through us. It wasn't that bad, but that subtext was always a part of the conversation. That's an abusive relationship.
And visually, you're in a recycling can rolling down the street.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the second one. This is King Kindness.
Big picture, try to zoom out. Feel the room out. Not a crown, that's a halo. Boom. Active volcano. Had a dream, heard a new sound. Know what to do now. Presenting His Highness.
I spread love, I'm King Kindness. Yes. I spread love, I'm King Kindness. Yes. I spread love, I'm King Kindness. Yes.
Tell me about King Kindness.
I love the concept of like a song that brags so much about how kind you are. Because it has like, you know, it has like the trap hi-hats. It has like a bit of a hip-hop feel. Machismo sort of ego-tripping aspect of hip-hop is like really fun and like pivotal to like the genre. But I never heard anything that was like, I'm so nice. So I wanted to do that. Yeah.
And visually, you are at a Sacramento landmark. You're at Marie's Donuts. Mm-hmm. And the whole video for this minute plays in reverse. So crumbs of donuts are flying up from the ground into your mouth.
Yeah.
And then you walk away backwards and a balloon unlets go out of your hand. And then you walk away.
Yeah.
Why did that visual make sense with that song theme?
So I'm like basically like reverse binge eating donuts.
You're scarfing donuts so hard. So it looks like an old fashioned, an apple fritter and a blueberry.
I think it's chocolate maybe. Yeah, it was really hard to eat that many donuts that fast. So it's like the exact inverse of gluttony, regurgitating these sweets and then like putting them on a box for somebody else to have. I don't know. I just like the idea of that where like you see this like king at his table, like just like gorging himself on this feast. It's the inverse of that. Marie's, you have to rep Sacramento.
And you have this sort of childlike wonder on your face as you are letting go or grabbing onto this yellow balloon.
I think I just like the idea being in reverse. The effect is like this friendly little balloon like landing into my hand, which just feels very like Snow White, kind of like Disney princessy.
When you release this EP, is it going to be five individual tracks or 1 5-minute track?
It'll be five individual tracks on like streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music, but then it'll be just the one video on YouTube.
Which video do you think is the most shareable if you were going to break it into 1-minute videos?
Oh, that's tough. I think maybe the first one, just because I think the visual of being in the trash can is like the funniest, most like eye-catching.
I'm going to vote for the donuts.
Really?
In reverse.
Okay. Because I think that song is the most shareable. So okay. That's good to hear.
We're going to get to the middle of the 5 minutes record. This is Level Up.
That's not enough time.
Level up.
Level up. Level up. Pass go. The illusion of control. What do I lack the most? What do I lack? Track 3, halfway. Do you like to hear me play? The minutes of your day you can't have back. Ha, ha.
So I thought it would be really funny if like the midway point of this 5-song, 5-minute EP was sort of like a wasted minute that is like purely self-referencing the track itself.
It's very meta.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like the whole thing is like a practice in, I don't know, like my relation to time. Well, maybe I won't use the 3rd minute. to like build some larger narrative. But in doing so, it creates the larger narrative of like being irreverent about like the passing of time.
And you're leveling up. You're taking the narrative up in terms of the tension.
Exactly.
And visually, you're riding a bicycle down a road with no hands. It's a really beautiful scene because there's this huge field of sunflowers behind you. Where's that spot?
That is out in Davis. That's where I used to ride my bike when I was going to school out there, south of where Mondavi Center is. If you just keep biking in that direction, it's just endless fields and there's like a sunflower farm out there.
And you're on this beautiful red bike. You're riding down the road past this big field of sunflowers. You've got a guitar in the basket behind you. Visually, it's really exciting. As a parent, I was terrified. You're not wearing a helmet and you're not using your hands on the handlebars.
It wasn't for that long. I went to Davis. I know how to ride a bike.
Well, you're here today, so we know that you're safe. So at the end of that song, there's a transition from day to night, and you're standing under a streetlight in a parking lot, and I think it's a school on Southland Park Drive, mm-hmm. for all those Sacramento landmark friends
totally.
Out there. And that leads us into End Equals Nigh.
Gosh, stop, baby, buckle up. Black dust, keep the glass up. Last night, Papa saw a light way up in the sky.
Call that a sign. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Mm. Ooh, call that a sign. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Mm. Ooh, call that a sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times out of 10. You can hear the answers coming. You've just got to listen.
Oh my.
Sweet relief, sunlight. I'm finally at peace.
So in that video, you're literally and figuratively asleep at the wheel, driving in a circle.
I think a lot of us lately have been ruminating on, like, the end of the world, the apocalypse.
For anyone who's been reading the news.
Yeah, totally. It's sort of about, like, a character in this 5-minute EP becoming aware of the fact that, like, it's about to end, seeing the signs that, like, there's one more minute of their life within this work, surrendering to that. I really love lately to think about this idea of, like, surrender and how, like, deeply you can surrender into, like, an unpleasant experience and it just kind of, like, evaporates. What would that be like if you, like, knew the world was about to end? Would it just be the most peaceful? Because, like, you can do nothing. Like, you're utterly helpless and there's a certain peace to that. Maybe not to most people, but I think there is.
And in the video, your eyes are closed the whole time, almost the entire time.
Yeah. We shot it. I was, like, through the sunroof in John's car. We
were just driving in circles.
Just driving circles under the freeway off of T Street where the farmer's market is. It's fun to hit all these Sacramento spots.
The end equals nigh, which means we have to come to the end. This is Naming Time.
Let's give it a name. Nothing stays the same. Take the pain away. Minutes, hours, days.
Time is wasting you.
Feels like waves to me. Who I used to be, I am not. Forward in a line. All the time, 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 time.
That's Naming Time, the fifth and final song on 5 Minutes by So Much Light. Tell me about the story behind that one.
It's literally about the moment that we named time, because I thought about what even would consciousness or reality feel like before we could conceptualize time. I just read this great book, The Origin of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind by Julian Jaynes. He's imagining, like, a mentality that predates our own before language, because without the names for things, we don't have these concepts and they don't exist in, like, our consciousness. Whoa, like, what was it like to even exist before we had a name for time and, like, the passage of time? It was probably wonderful, and there's probably, like, this immediacy to every moment. I mean, the whole EP is this rumination on time. The nature of our relationship to time has changed dramatically and, like, I think is kind of the substrate layer of a lot of our problems.
And complicated decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Outside of time, you can't even really fabricate an ego. If you can't look back to, like, think about what you once were like and look forward to project, like, who you will be what are you?
And for the visuals, you're in the center of the frame, you're facing away from the camera, and you're looking at a shimmering body of water with the sunset reflecting on it. And there's a very gentle rack focus between the water and then you and then the water again. How has your relationship to your own time as a creative person changed as you've developed your art?
Yeah, I think I feel a lot less urgency around things. Much more clear to me, like, why I'm doing it in the first place. It's just, like, the clearest way that I can articulate these ideas that I wish to express. Not even necessarily to, like, the widest audience possible. It's like a meditative practice. I'm happy for people to be along for the ride because there are aspects of it that I feel like are worth sharing. If that weren't the case, then it would be like a really selfish endeavor. But at the same time, a lot of it is for me to like just grapple with certain ideas. It's a lot easier for me to do this and to like build meaning into a song than it is to sit down and like write an essay. If I were better at that, I'd be doing that. I would just be a writer. You know, if I were a better poet, I would just write poems. I think I depend on some of the context that's built out of like sound design and like choosing chords and composition. And like I can just like say more with those tools.
Do you feel more focused?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of that is just being lucky enough to have a job where I get to think about music and I don't have too many distractions.
And you have a network of high-level musicians like American Football and Geographer and all the folks that you've toured with.
Yeah, so I'm really lucky to be able to like produce all of this stuff and then send it to my friend Jason Cupp, who mixed it, who's like, you know, like a world-class mixing engineer.
My AP English teacher would be mad at me if I didn't point out that anytime a person stares at a body of water all by themselves, they're probably thinking about death.
Yeah. It's the waves. I don't know. There's like
it's a very peaceful visual
totally.
For that fifth minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about time in waves. Like I was just talking to my girlfriend about how like she was like, you're kind of like known for being a little late to things. And I was like, what? Really? Like, oh, well, time is such a subjective experience.
Time's a construct, bro.
Yeah.
Well, as we think about our time here in the studio, we only have about a minute left. What's next for So Much Light?
Next month, in October, I'll be on tour with So Much Light. I'll also be opening for my own band, The Speed of Sound in Seawater. So I'm going to be playing two sets every night in the final show at Holy Diver on October 26th, hometown crowd.
And you're not going to have to retune your guitar every song.
No, thank goodness. Yeah.
Well, Damian Barrett, it's been a pleasure to talk about 5 minutes and to experience it both visually and as a collection of songs. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing it here on Insight.
Thanks, Cody. Yeah, I appreciate it.
That's Damian Barrett, the songwriter behind So Much Light. He was talking with Insight producer Cody Drabble. The 5 minutes visual EP will be released on Damian's YouTube channel and music streaming services on October 2nd. Damian's going on tour in October of 2019 with both So Much Light and his other band, The Speed of Sound in Seawater. The tour wraps up in Sacramento with a show at Holy Diver on October 26th. You can find more on our website, capradio.org/insight, and we're going out on that single, Heal, by So Much Light. You're listening to Insight Music on Cap Radio. How do I heal? I made a mistake. I thought we were falling out the same rain. A wound worse than my own. Give me a cure, a spell. You need one too, yeah, I can't tell. Hey, how do I feel? The ache that we can't name.